this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
We are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? It's a special emergency Super League Cup podcast, and we've got big news. Eddie Fourfinger Woodward is out at Manchester United. He gets thrown under the bus by the Glazers and the board, which is effectively the Glazers. Big day for football. Super League is basically dead in its tracks. Battle is won, but the war continues. Sir, how are we feeling?
I mean, sir, I think the only way to say it is, holy shit, it's been a few days. I mean, as football fans, the ups and the downs, the twists and the turns, and we're not done yet. But what we can say as of recording this podcast, this is Tuesday afternoon Pacific, Super League dead, Manchester United out of the Super League, Ed Woodward out of Manchester United at the end of 2021. And of course, Eddie's going to give us his Ed Woodward special spin zone that he was already leaving, and he did a great job, and yada, yada, yada. We will get into all the details, but look, Eddie didn't do a good job. He did the Glazers' bidding, our terrible ownership that's lasted 15 years, $1 billion out. We've covered it here at the American Red Devils. They are who we thought they were, sir. We've been talking about the financials. We've been talking about the situations, the dividends, the interest payments, the debts, all of the things holding Manchester United back. I know that's very complicated for a lot of fans, but this one, the Super League, this was simple to understand, sir. This was a power grab. This was a money grab. Greed all the way through. It spits in the face of the history of this club, the Munich air disaster, everything the European Cup means to Manchester United, our rich history, all the fans, sir. They disrespected and crossed a line. And I was glad to see this week a lot of big names speaking out. You know, I think a lot of people play coy with the Glazers because they want to go to the matches. They want certain privileges, but big names on the record throwing stones at that glass house the Glazers have built. And they're in South Florida, sir. What do they care about Manchester United? They don't. Time to get them out. Hashtag Glazers out, sir. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. Green and gold till the club is sold, my man.
And that's going to be the motto until they're well and truly gone. We're a long road from that, but this is an important first step because I think, like you said it in the intro, they've been doing this club that dirty for 15 years. The only thing that changes now, they tried to do the biggest, basically, money grab in history of football, turn it into a monopoly a la American sports, and they almost got away with it. They didn't almost get away with it, but it's almost unbelievable how they expected this to go down. I don't know if they thought it would be well received, if they thought they could just sneak it under, but they couldn't have timed it worse post, you know, getting through a year of pandemic. People have been suffering across the board. They have not been suffering. And they're trying to take like the last thing that many football fans have, which is just the sanctity of the game. Like, it's so important to who this club is as our history dictates, and what means so much to so many fans, which is the promotion, relegation, qualify for Champions League, make it through the knockout stages, you know, all that good stuff. And those big ties that don't happen every day, and that's why they're exciting, because they don't happen every Tuesday or Wednesday like they would want to do. So either way, it's a big day for sport. It's a big day for football. It's a big day for Manchester United. Ed Woodward, the clown, the biggest clown in all of Manchester, has been doing the bidding of this evil family for 15 years, but really 8 years as a CEO, is finally gone. But like I said, this is just the first battle. We need to win the war. We need to get that family out, sir. I could go all day. Woo, let's do it.
So, first of all, the fact that Super League crumbled in spectacular fashion. I'll borrow a term from American football. Maybe the Glazers can understand. Fumble Ruski, big fumble coming out with that stupid press release with Joel Glazer's name on it. You don't hear from him at all. You heard from him when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. Hasn't been to Manchester in years. Chairman of the club. And then the only thing he speaks out on is basically ruining the sport as we know it. I mean, do these guys have no shame, sir? But the billionaires today, the billionaires, they took the L. And when the billionaires take the L, that's a day to celebrate. football fans around the world, sir. We got a lot of nice things to say about people who we usually don't like on this podcast. And for this one day, sir, for this one pod, we will give them their due. There's a Russian crook who deserves some respect. There's Pep, who I hate, who deserves some respect, right? There's some people. This situation brought world football together. And I think all fans came together. I think all pundits came together. I think a lot of players came together. I think a lot of coaches have come together. And I think this is a moment that we should all cherish. And hopefully this is the changing of the guard from the billionaire class to a reformed football ownership system in England, maybe like Germany, where you do the 51% fan voting. Something has to be done here. You know, I'm an American, but I don't root for Manchester United because I want it to be like the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I like the English football because of the history and the leagues and the promotion relegation. That's what makes it so exciting, having to get top four, winning the league. I mean, it's just to try to take that away from fans is treason. I think that's the best way to say it. It's treason.
I mean, a lot of good, like you said, you're very good point, right? Today, everyone is going to get a clean slate. We're going to be complimenting our rivals because at the end of the day, it was all about destroying this terrible idea that could, you know, I think there was an article in the Guardian that said only someone that hated football could come up with a plan like this. And it's really true. It's like, it had to be envisioned by people that don't watch the sport, didn't grow up watching it, don't give a shit about the sport, because what a soulless enterprise that would be. And you got to love Perez out there just dancing, trying to convince everybody. He's trying to save football. We're going to shorten the games, yada, yada, yada. But either way, it's a big day. And I totally agree. There has to be real reform. I think England itself has to appreciate how valuable of an asset it has in English football, and they should protect it because it is a huge asset for that country. And it almost got taken away by people that aren't even living there, sir. So whatever happens, hopefully this is a catalyst for change in European football. Probably long overdue. Probably should happen in the, you know, as the Glazers were trying to initially get their tentacles into this storied club in 2005. But you know what? Better late than never.
No, and totally. And you know what? We wanted to hold our tongues, right? We didn't want to come out. There's so much Super League rage porn, I'll call it. I mean, I watched a lot of it, sir. You know, you hear just everyone yelling about the Super League. You know, we could have come out, what was it, Monday and done the whole thing. But we were actually going to wait till tomorrow. And then after Ed Woodward got sacked, now the Super League's no more. There's really not much to hold out for. But it's one of those things where I envisioned this to be a long battle. I thought it was going to be legal. I thought the European antitrust, I thought the regulatory bodies in England, I thought this would be a long story. So it's one that we didn't want to sort of overreact to the Super League. You know, I originally thought it was just going to be a negotiated ploy. I think at the end of the day, it really was. I mean, there's not much behind it other than a press release and an LOI from a bank. You know, they don't have the infrastructure to be able to run this league with, especially Perez running the show, like you said. So, you know, it's one of those things where I don't really know how much was behind it. I think it's going to come out over time. I mean, we're going to cover it. But, you know, sir, we had a lot of conversations back and forth over the last 2 days. Like, we had a few mini pods on the phone, just like calling each other, being like, hey, are we rooting for Aston Villa now? It's like we were talking about what club. I'm not going to support the Super League. There's no way. We talked about what's going to happen with the pod. I mean, it's been up and down. And what a day. We're back, baby. That's all I got to say, you know.
We are back, and the war is just beginning, but it's a huge day for all fans out there. So now we've got to get the Glazers out, root and stem. Root and stem, they are the heart of this, and you know they were behind it. Like, Joel Glazer doesn't put his name on shit. And all of a sudden, he puts his name on the Super League. But hey, you almost never find something with 92, 93% approval, like disapproval rating. I mean, in this modern era, how many people can agree on something to that high, over 9 out of 10 people, right? Like, you know, Leeds fans and Liverpool fans arm in arm outside of Ellen Road protesting this. I mean, that says something about how despicable this overreach was.
No, sir. So in this podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to break it down, the who, what, when, why, and where of the Super League. I think it's good to hit those points. Then we're going to go through why it matters to Manchester United, Ed Woodward going, and what it means for the Glazers. Will they sell? answer is probably, right? I think this was a big chip up move for them. And at the end of the day, if it fails, you know, they're already rumored to sell and they're trying to squeeze every ounce, sir, out of the club. Like you said, they're trying to take everything away. The dead horse, like, you know, they run in the ground. They're taking us to the glue factory and the Super League was a move on that way. And so we're going to kind of go through the high points here. But before we do that, quick PSA for the podcast. You know, we are independent fan content. We've been very vocal against our ownership. Being independent is part of that, sir. You know, we did discuss when we first started this podcast a long time ago, do we criticize the owners? Do we not? And, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, have that reservation because maybe they will get something from them one day, right? But we knew the situation was bad and we had to talk out, and that's why we wanted to go the independent fan content route. And if you want to support us, you can at Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericaDevils. Check it out. You can support us from $1 a month to $20 a month. It helps us keep the lights on. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, and shirts. Blazers out if you want it. And that's how that's what we want to do. We don't have any private commercial sponsors, no Maui Jim, no nothing, no Eddie Woodward. He's gone anyway, sir. It's going to be interesting to stop saying Eddie's name on this podcast already. It's kind of getting weird. We also have a great website, www.americaredevils.com. We cover the Glazers ownership there. Great independent fan content. Click on store as well. We have all of our Glazers out merchandise, sir. On sale, $9.99. My Sack Woodward sticker, my clown design, I put those on sale for 99 cents. Those are pretty much selling at cost. So everything Glazers out is on sale. You've been stuffing all the scarves. We've been selling tons of Glazers out scarves in the last 48 hours. Green and gold to the club is sold, sir.
Green and gold to the club is sold indeed. It's all about supporting independent fan content. And if you, like we have to say, you know, support the American Red Devils, join our Patreon, buy our merch, or you can write an iTunes review. That's also another great way for you to support the American Red Devils without spending a single dollar. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's got Cheeky Banner, anti-Woodward, anti-Glazers, even better. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, and we will get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers. ASAP, rock, sir. Whew, should we get into this?
Well, I was going to say, big shout out to everyone who does support us. You know, you're supporting the independent voice. We're getting that hashtag Glazers Out movement going on social. We're getting it on our blog. We've always covered them. And, you know, you're a part of that, you know, because we believe the fans are right, sir. We're on the side of the fans, for fans, by fans. That's what the American Red Devils are about. And to see Ed Woodward, you know, when I spent the 10 hours designing that clown image of Ed Woodward, Sack Woodward, 3 years ago. And I love it when people steal it and they put it on Twitter and Instagram, et cetera. And now he's finally done. So I look at that sticker, I smile a little more. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I had anything to do with it, but, you know, just doing my part, that little part that you can do as a fan. You know, you love it.
Sir, Eddie first, Glazers next. And we got those, I don't know if it's Joe Glazer or his dad, clown shirts. Avram, lovely Avram Glazer, real charmer. He's next, sir, because he's the biggest clown of them all. And he's not even a clown, he's just a crook. It's like, if you're going to do what they tried to do, what they've already done to this club, but this was just kind of the last straw. We talked about it when we were trying to break down a great win against Burnley the Builders on the weekend, and we were distracted by the news breaking mid-game, poor Ole having to defend without even knowing what the hell was going on, because you know they didn't brief him. It's kind of amazing that was 3 days ago, but it was the last act of a desperate man. And by man, I mean the Glazers, right? They basically, this club has been leveraged so high that it's not sustainable anymore. They needed a sale, which we had kind of talked about, or something like this, a huge cash infusion, which they were hoping JB Morgan would be willing to saddle up. So this is taking one of those options off the table, sir. Are you telling me there's going to be a sale?
Sir, we'll get to that later. First, we're going to open it up. Sir, we got the rise of the Super League. Give me that music, Super League. You heard it. That's the Imperial March. You know it. If you know the Star Wars, it is pure evil, sir. And that is what the Super League is. It dropped officially Sunday night, right after we record the pod. Who is doing it? So we're going to give you the who. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Juventus, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Man City, the Scouse Bastards, Manchester United, probably the ringleaders, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Tottenham. Sir, these 12 teams, they signed LOIs with JP Morgan Chase for a lot of money trying to create this breakaway Super League. We'll give you the what is a Super League in the press release on Manchester United's website. Apparently 20 participating clubs with 15 founding members and a qualifying mechanism for a further five teams to qualify. Who knows how? It's going to be played midweek and the clubs are going to continue to play in their respective national leagues. And they expected an August start with clubs participating in two groups of 10, sir. That's just like having the East and the West in the NBA. They're going to make it like that. You know, like this press release came out. It's like unbelievable. And so then they would go from a, you know, two division setup to having a top three in each group automatically qualifying for the quarterfinals. Teams finishing fourth and fifth would then compete in a two-legged playoff for the remaining quarterfinal position. That makes no sense. And then two-leg lock knockout format would be used to reach the final at the end of May, which will be staged as a single fixture at a neutral venue. So they gave you the format. Essentially, the 15 founding clubs can't be dropped, right? So they got rid of basically promotion relegation. Nobody knows how the other five could get in. It's basically a crime against the sport. And just to add on to that, Joel Glazer, the co-chairman of Manchester United, who never puts his name to anything, was quoted in the same press release and said, quote, "By bringing together the world's greatest clubs and players to play each other throughout the season, the Super League will open a new chapter for European football, ensuring world-class competition and facilities and increased financial support for the wider football pyramid." You believe a word he says?
I don't believe a word he ever says, but especially if he's looking out for other people other than his own pocketbook, you know you can call bullshit on that.
No, absolutely. And so you got the gist of the who and the what, and it's the when, sir. When you're trying to break down what's going on, trying to read the tea leaves here, it's the when that got me. Because when we were watching the Leeds match, and then essentially they're saying, oh, Super League's announced tonight, and then I know that the new UEFA, ratification of the new format in the Champions League is happening Monday, this has to be a desperate attempt at by these clubs against UEFA in some way. It had, like, if you think of the when is what really tells you what's up. They decide to announce it Sunday, April 18th, on the eve of the UEFA UCL reforms, and they did it Eastern time in the United States, which obviously, again, makes no sense. And these reforms that UEFA made end up making that Monday, but they also met and talked about essentially the new Super League, is essentially the 24-25 season. They're going to add more teams, and they're going to change the format in how the Champions League is played. And so that's really not what these clubs care about. The clubs care about the money side of it. So there had to be something going on behind the scenes with UEFA and these big clubs where by adding more teams and adding more games, so essentially going from six games or going to 10 in group play, that UEFA is going to make more money and they're not sharing that money or enough of that money with these big names. And so that's what the big gripe was. That's why they announced it when they did. It had to be a complete rejection of the new system and an all-in move for either the Super League or getting more money out of UEFA. And that was my gut reaction. And when I saw the press release, it really had nothing behind it. It's just a bunch of words, sir. It was just to create a press story. I you had to think the Super League was doomed because when Florentino Perez got on TV, he didn't really know what he was talking about.
He didn't know.
He was full of shit. Like, so it's like you got this press release. It's right before the eve of the UCL reform. And then Perez is kind of talking out of his ass. And then you're like, okay, this can't be real then.
Well, we saw it as kind of a bargaining chip, negotiation tactic. They went all in. But, you know, the difference is that Joel Glazer has the foresight to not go and do live interviews. He has well-scripted, statements that I'm sure his PR team and whoever Woody pulled from the Sun a year ago to help with his own PR internally crafted the hell out of this. And then Perez, who was the chairman, supposed to be the chairman of this new Super League, went out and danced. And basically he was like, you know, we're trying to save football. People are not watching football, apparently. When the last time I checked, football is like on an astronomic rise globally, never been more popular than it is today. English Premier League has never been more popular. Champions League has never been more popular. And they're like, well, we want a bigger piece of that pie. Saw it as that. But we didn't expect, you know, we were doing the pod, things were blowing up already, is the universal rebuck. You know, the universal just like absolute disgust. Absolute disgust with what was being done across the board, right? Even our rivals, who we talk shit about all day, every other day of the year, other than today, they were all behind it. Nobody wanted this. You know, nobody wanted this plan except for like seven greedy men.
No, and there's a few clues here where looking back on it makes a lot more sense. They announced the Super League. All of a sudden, the night before UEFA is going to do this, there's no PSG, no Bayern. So why would you announce a Super League in the middle of the season without all the teams lined up, right? Because like the idea is if you're going to do this, it has to be like ironclad and you have to have everybody. If you had Bayern and PSG and Dortmund, it's done. It's happening. Without those clubs, and then they came out strong against, then you got some people, uh-oh. And then UEFA's got the big names. Bayern won it. PSG was in the finals. I mean, Tottenham's in the Super League. I mean, are you kidding me, right? You know what I'm saying? So then you have this whole like, questioning why the teams are in it, and without Bayern and without PSG, with this timing here, it seemed like a rush job. It seemed like desperation. It seemed like a money grab and hoping that it would work when they didn't have the best position. Because if you're not Ed Woodward and you're actually smart and you're not desperate and you actually know what you're doing, you have to have everyone locked in and then you could do the Super League. So by them actually rushing it out of desperation, because of COVID, because they're broke, because they need the money. Barca's broke, needs the money. AC Milan's broke, needs the money. Inter Milan's broke, needs the money. United need the money. All these teams are broke and they're so desperate, they decided to rush the Super League. And then this is why it blew up, sir. And so looking back on it, you can kind of see these cracks. And we're going to go with the where in the investigation in the Sherlock Holmes. So we said where, it was via the press release and Florentino Perez on Spanish TV, sir, given the best interview of all time when he forgot that Tottenham was in the Super League. Give me that audio.
United, Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham. Oh, yeah.
One more time.
United, Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah, I forget about Tottenham a lot too, sir.
They made it? Oh, yeah, they made it? So that sums up the whole thing. When I saw that, that made me feel like these guys are absolutely winging it. They're winging it. They're trying to just create – this is shock jock stuff. Also, the fact that Florentino Perez is the chairman of the entire league, you knew it was total bullshit because Florentino Perez is the biggest troll in all of football, sir. If you know – I mean, like – we've been really following the game for like over 15 years, but Perez, he's the king of the rats. You know, all the ratones in Madrid who boo their own fans, he's the king of the rats, man. And it's like the socios in Madrid, you know, there's a whole angle as well that like essentially Barcelona and Madrid, they can't join. The socios have a say, so they got to convince them. So there's a lot of opposition to this league even happening, but seeing Perez stumble in an interview where he's like, Tottenham? No way. They're in? Like live on TV? Like, come on, man.
No, it's but true. Sir,
no, but sir, you know, it was entertaining and those were a few clues. But the most important thing is the why, sir.
There's more money, more money, more problems. Losing sleep and I think the trouble's calling. You gonna find out who will catch you when you fall. You gonna find out who is loyal when you ball.
Sir, you know, mo money, mo problems. Shout out Dub P and China Mac, Oak Town's finest young rappers coming up, sir. So check them out on YouTube. You know, You're going to find out who's on your crew when you're balling, sir. Mo money, mo problems, my man.
It's true, sir, and it is absolutely true. And you see who was pushing it, right? Who was pushing it? It's Perez. Real Madrid, they are up to their eyeballs in debt, $900 million and counting. You have Joel Glazer. What the hell does he know? He didn't even know what the offside rule was. They apparently had to explain it to him for years. I had no idea how that worked. It was the guy at Juventus, and I think it was the one at Liverpool as well. So Liverpool or not is quite dire straits as Manchester United, Real, Barcelona, and AC Milan. They're like so screwed, especially those chairmen who have put those clubs in the position, lever them up to the eyeballs, and then what happened? COVID happened, and all the fans disappeared. They couldn't get the match day revenue of 100 million plus a year, and that evaporates, and all of a sudden those debt obligations go way up, and they can't even keep up with interest. So this was kind of the last act of a desperate man. We got to get this money. We got to get this, what, $5 billion guaranteed by J.P. Morgan. And they call their bluff. And I think you pointed it out really well. It's like they wouldn't have done this mid-season right before the Champions League semifinal when, like, people are so tuned into football right now. They would have done it, you know, post-European Cup. When people are on summer break. I think there's a little bit less attention. People are on vacation anyway. The timing says a lot. The fact that there's no Ajax, there's no Bayern, there's no PSG. You're missing out two of the countries that are really relevant.
It's like, oh, we got 12. We're gonna
three more
for grabs. Like, don't worry. Like, you know, like it just when you start seeing it, you see why it was a desperate move made by desperate men. And the thing is, mo money, mo problems, sir. The debt is crushing these clubs. Barcelona, eye-watering debt. United, we talked about the financials. We've written about it on the website. We said, look, these are the cash projections for Manchester United. It's scary. They don't have money. Their stadium, our stadium is like falling apart. How are they going to raise money? We talked about the options like not naming the stadium, selling more sponsorships, you know, raising money in the equity markets. They can't put more debt on the club. They can't, they like financially can't, they've maxed their leverage. So their options are limited. And you know what? We didn't think of Super League, but I always thought Super League was down the line. I thought it was something that could come eventually, but COVID is what rushed it, and what rushed it made it sloppy. And because it was sloppy, it failed. Thank God it failed. Thank God they didn't have the time to sign up all those other clubs and make it ironclad. Because if they did, it might exist. And when you look back at football history, this moment, COVID, the debt on all these clubs, them acting this irrationally or like this desperate, is what's going to create the regulation that's going to stop this from ever happening in the future. So this Super League probably would have happened if not for this desperate attempt by these clubs and led by Manchester United. The reason why Liverpool's in it, FSG, John Henry, the Glazers, Woodward, they're all chummy. Stan Kroenke, this the American billionaires that they really were the ones who were leading the Super League. You can see the photos of the dinners. Ed Woodward was the main man. He's the main man. Super League collapses. Ed Woodward's out. I mean, that's it. That's it. That's the way it is. It's like Super League collapses. Ed Woodward's got to take. He's taking the L. He's taking the L for the Glazers. That's why he stepped down today. You want to buy any other rumor? It's like, no way. If Super League succeeds, Ed Woodward is the man in the Super League, my man. It's like, there's no way Ed Woodward is not a huge part of it. Maybe he would not be at United, but he'd be in the Super League probably. Right? So yeah, maybe the rumors are right that he wouldn't be at Manchester United after the end of the season, but he'd probably be a part of the Super League. There's no way Ed Woodward, if the Super League was successful, that he wouldn't be moving on up in the ranks. And if it died, he's the fall guy. We call him the fall guy.
They threw him in front of the bus, right? Just like what he's done to certain managers of this club. He's done it, you know, behind the backs of treating players this way. It's amazing all the things that have leaked since then about how Woodward met with a fan group on Friday, didn't mention it at all. You know, met with the players, didn't mention it at all. And basically also met with UEFA on Thursday.
Sir, we have an Edward shit on Ed Woodward section.
All right, we'll save it. I can't help it.
I know. No, I know. So getting to the why, it's all about money. Essentially, the Super League founding clubs, JP Morgan Chase, they had the funding for 3.5 billion euros or 3 billion pounds, and the 15 founding clubs would split that. They wouldn't all get the same amount of money, but it ranges from $310 million to $89 million. Manchester United would get a cash injection of $310 million. That's what they need right now. They need that to deal with the debt. They need to deal that with all the operating expenses, especially during COVID. What's amazing is the net debt as of June 2020, Tottenham's number one at $685 million, new stadium. Manchester United number two in the Super League, 524. That has actually gone up since. Juventus, 390. Inter Milan, 322. Barcelona, 317. Real Madrid, 170. I mean, you can see across the board all these teams absolutely in debt. They had to go get the cash. And from at Swiss Ramble on Twitter, essentially all Super League clubs up until this point lost £1.2 billion in the 2019-20 season. That's before player sales. And that was only counts 3 months of COVID. So these clubs, even during good times, are losing $1 billion a year. They're running an unsustainable bottom line, inflated player wages, inflated transfer fees. They cannot afford it, sir. And at the end of the day, football was a bubble, right? This is the real driving cause of the Super League in the way we saw it. Transfer fees going through the roof. You had foreign state money coming in, Russian oligarchs coming in. Manchester United's balance sheet can't handle paying these inflated wages or these inflated transfer fees anymore. And then COVID hit and the bubble really burst, right? You're not seeing the Neymar $175 million deal anymore. The only teams that can afford that stuff are literally nation states like Qatar, like the nation of Qatar backing PSG, right? It's like, that is the last straw. So when you get from financial sustainability to that, and then the UEFA doesn't even, the financial fair play doesn't even come into play, right? So football never got a handle on it. They never regulated agents' fees. They never regulated player wages. They never regulated transfer fees, created this giant bubble. That's where all the debt is from. That's why all these clubs are in debt. And then COVID hits and they're already max leverage. And then they got to make a move like this. It's all connected, sir. It's sad to see, but money came into the game and more money, more problems.
You are very correct, but there's one element. It's also, there's a greed element, right? You add as much debt as possible so you don't have to put any equity up. And that's a huge component as well, right? So it's like they made sure to lever up these firms, these clubs as much as possible, as much as humanly possible, as much as the banks would allow, and expected the gravy train to keep coming in. And then, you know, maybe they'd pluck off an acquisition or whatever it would be. But
well, I would say when the fees were going up, instead of saying, hey, we can't pay that, they raised debt to pay the increase. Right. And that's where Barcelona like raised debt to pay Messi. They didn't raise debt to fix their stadium. The only club that raised debt to fix their stadium was Tottenham, right? You know, that makes sense. It's going to pay back over time. You know, United raised debt to give the Glazers cash.
Unbelievable. It took five, you know, they've taken $1.5 billion out of this club over the last 15 years. And hopefully, so that comes to an end sooner rather than later, because fans have woken up. There is a protective element, I think, that's heightened by COVID. People realize how important some of these assets are, how important football is to us, how important Manchester United is, or the other clubs that are involved that, you know, were so opposed to this move, because there's got to be something sacred left. It can't just all be about money. It can't just all be about cash all the time and player rights, television rights.
No, the greed element that you're talking about is the fact that England let the fox in the hen house, right? They let the billionaires start buying up these teams, and there's no regulation on, like, you know, there's regulation on how many players have to be from your country, but there's no regulation on, like, you got to invest in your community, you got to invest in the football pyramid. It's all up to the EPL. So let's just not say UEFA, FIFA, and the Premier League, they're all like the best. They don't have any sort of egg on their face over the last 20 years. I mean, they're not perfect organizations either. They kind of like let the billionaire class kind of do their thing. And then now they got this, right? So they let these guys in. They let them own 100%. And now they have to kind of – now they got the Super League. It clearly disbanded. But now I think regulation is the next step. Right. So that whole greed component, the billionaire who only cares about money, doesn't know offsides, doesn't know the color of their team's jersey, who's only in it for money. You know, they did enable that in some way, and it kind of backfired, too.
Well, they did, because you know what? When United came in, when Abramovich came in, when the owners of City came in, all they saw was the upside of having someone invest in the team, right? And like add to the brand, add to, you know, the country's allure. And there were no regulations put in place. Now, you know, I think, I don't want to say they're going to overregulate, but they need to regulate because they need to, you know, they should probably enact what they've enacted since the 90s in Germany, which is the 50+1 rule that says you must have at least a majority ownership that's owned by the fans. And, you know, German clubs have shown that works. Obviously, there are problems with the German league. You talk about the dominance of Bayern. You talk about RB, right, coming in and kind of gaming it to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, that is a model that makes sense because, dude, these clubs are special. And, you know, whether it's Manchester United or Swindon Town, they are special because they have a very important significance in the local communities. They aren't just entertainment. They provide so much more. Exactly. And I think you go there, you meet the people that go in week in, week out, that spend their hard-earned money, man, on going to the games. Even when their team is shit, fighting in League Two, they go because it's so important to them. And these owners do just sitting in their billionaire boxes, laughing all the way to the bank. You know, they don't really give a shit about fans. I think you said it, sir, when we were just debriefing in between the last pod and this pod, is like they realize you don't need fans to have football. You can still make a shit ton of money. You don't even need the fans. But like at the end of the day, I think they underestimated the backlash that they would get. And thankfully, everybody stood up together. There's nobody that's like, you know what? We should definitely do this. Super League's great. Let's go through with it. Unless you're a freaking owner of one of these clubs.
Sir, I will say, you know, Thomas Tuchel didn't seem to mind when he gave his presser. Don't like that guy. But, sir, let's jump into the segment. This is where we get positive. We talked about the who, what, when, where, and why of the Super League. There's a lot of dynamics, sir. We probably didn't even hit on them all. You know, if we miss something, tweet us. We're trying to cover so much here in this pod. We're getting to the section, the fun part, the return of the fans, my man. Kind of like the return of the Jedi. There's a Star Wars theme going on here. We had the Imperial March. Gary Neville calls out the Glazers on Monday Night Football big time. Finally, not pulling punches. He said he's been complicit. I mean, that's kind of the mood that we've been seeing. Too many people are just like, they think the Glazers have all this power. They're not even there. They're in Tampa Bay. Say they suck. They're not going to. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? It's like truth to power, my man. That's why on this podcast, we've always been talking out about the Glazers. And finally, Gary Neville, boom, throwing shots against the Glazers. James Milner speaks out big time in the interview. Dude, Klopp kind of pussyfooted initially. Then Milner's like, I don't like it. I don't want to be a part of it. I mean, those are big words. He didn't play coy. James Milner, you know, obviously scouts bastard, but for him to say that, that was big. Then Rashford, big tweet. Luke Shaw, another big tweet. Bruno, big tweet. And Maguire reportedly joined the captain's meeting and confronted Eddie Woodward. That's more of like what we've heard in the press. But again, United players speaking out, ex-United players speaking out. And then, sir, I thought, you know, this is the only day in the history of the days where I'm going to say something good. But, you know, Pep Guardiola, you talk about a guy who, you know, it's almost like how big of a deal you are is how much you can say. And he said it, sir. So let's hear his presser.
Like I said, that I don't have all information. I have a few information. If you ask me, it's about these teams has been selected. I don't know the reason why. Is going to play this competition, hypothetical competition in the future. And a sport is not a sport when the relation between the effort and the success, the effort and reward doesn't exist, don't exist. So it's not a sport. So it's not a sport of the success is already guaranteed. It's not a sport and it doesn't matter if you lose. That's why I said many times, I want the best competition as strong as possible, so especially the Premier League. And it's not fair when one team fight, arrive on the top and after cannot be qualified because the success is already guaranteed for just for few clubs. In this statement is what I feel. I don't know it's going to change, and the people say, no, maybe four or five teams can go up and can play these competitions. But what happened in the last 14, 15 play, not good season, and every time we'll be there. So this is not a sport, it's another issue.
Sir, when you're right, you're right. Pep was spot on there. And we don't often say that, but you gotta. There's good feels all around football right now, right today, and we're gonna call it when you see it. Klopp was coy. City. Klopp was coy as shit, bro. And you know what? To a certain extent, Ole was, but he didn't go out and defend the owners.
Klopp did. Ole was reacting to the rumor. It's not like the press statement has dropped, and he, you know, Ole was like literally like, "What Super League? It was just a rumor. It wasn't real." You know. Klopp was reacting to like the actual statement. Tuchel was the weakest, but Pep Guardiola is bigger than Man Shitty. Like Man Shitty need Pep. Pep don't need Shitty. And Pep was just like, "What is this?" And like, you got to respect the comic. He said it right. He's like, "What are you? 14 teams like Arsenal can play like they are now, and they're in it. Like, what are you talking about? Tottenham? They haven't won anything. They're in it. Like, who decided these clubs?" It's like everything that's wrong with the Super League. I thought he hit the nail on the head. And honestly, if he's against it, it could be the reason why Shitty end up backing out, because they need to do whatever they can to have him stay. I would love for him to leave Man Shitty, sir. I would love for him to leave Man Shitty, go to Bayern again.
You and me both, sir. You and me both. It's funny. The two clubs that pulled out the fastest are the clubs that, in the Premier League, are the clubs that need the money the least, right? Chelsea and City, who have big backers that, you know, really aren't worried because they have a nearly endless supply of cash to inject into the teams. But you have to call it, when you're right, you're right. Good on Pep to kind of just throw shots where appropriate and say, this is not sport. You know, the sport that he knows, which is, you know, which makes it so exciting, which makes the matchup so interesting, you know, the Leicester story possible. The fact that, like, you could have an Arsenal in ninth place and everyone laughing at him, that's fun. Yes. Jose got fired through all this. I love how, like, Levy just snuck that in same day. Fires Jose. They interviewed Jose. He's smiling his ass off. Another $15 million payment. I'm going to buy another house on the coast of Portugal. Good for him. That's but quite a...
Pep's comments. I mean, like, the Super League made me feel, and I'm like, I think it's for a lot of fans. Like, sir, I called you. I said, sir, I'm down today. Like, I'm down, I'm beating down this, like, news and, you know, the Glazers. It's like the Glazers winning. It's like the Glazers stealing something from us. Like, stealing what we love, sir. Everything. Like, sir, the 20-something jerseys I got. You know, like, they're stealing that away from me, and it killed my soul. And, you know, when he talks about competition, and if there's no competition, then what do you got? And, you know, it takes me to, you know, American sport. The New York Giants playing the Washington Redskins on the final day of the NFL season. And essentially, the Redskins take out their quarterback to lose the game so they can get a better draft pick. They're not trying to win. They're trying to lose. But the Giants needed the Redskins to win to make the playoffs. And then you get in this whole, like, bizarro land where teams are trying to lose to benefit themselves. And that is an issue in American sport. And it has to be addressed. You know, and when you and the Super League would be the same thing. Joe Glazer cashing in, not caring if we lose. And then you're like, what is sport, sir? And you know, I'm a New Jersey Giants fan till I die, sir. We grew up in New Jersey. I met you on a football field, smashing our heads against each other, like what? Like 17, 18 years ago, getting brain damage in high school. You love to see it. You know, and like I just, that didn't sit right with me. When I'm seeing teams lose on purpose, grown men losing on a field of play, and this is what the Super League means, and this is what Pep Guardiola means, and I'm glad that, and part of the reason why I like the EPL is, like, if you lose, you're out, bro. If you lose, you're in the championship. And that's why it's so exciting. That's what it's all about. And I think Pep hit the nail on the head with these comments, and then after that, it started cracking. Chelsea, their fans wouldn't let their bus in. Look, I'm not going to... Chelsea fans, today is the only day. I'll tell you what. The Chelsea fan on the text thread, we went from like earlier today, we were both texting. It was friendly. Good job, Chelsea. And then now we're hating each other because I was like, Tuchel soft, Tuchel, like, you know, and then he's like going back at Ole. Now we're already hating each other again, you know. But there was a brief window where I was pumped for Chelsea to leave the Super League. Shitty leaves it. Now everyone's out. Manchester United's out, sir. That was the big news. They tweeted it out. Like, it's the words of the tweet are like, reluctant, United. We will not be participating in the European Super League. That's it. No apology, no nothing. No Joel Glazer quote. Just the smallest smidge you could do.
the least amount they have to write in order to say we're out. They could have said we're out, mic drop, but shameless. You know, they are shameless. They're shameless in what they've done to this club to date, right? If you look at what they've done to this club since 2005, it should be a crime. And you know what? They pushed the envelope too far. They tried to get away with one. They tried to turn this into basically the NFL, or you can, as shitty as you can be and how little you give back to the fans, don't matter because you get rewarded. You get a top draft pick and then you're back in the shuffle next year. They wanted to take that away from every fan. So thankfully people responded appropriately, rose up in arms together, you know, We joined hands with our Scouse and Chelsky brothers and sisters for one day and one day only. And you know what? You weren't the only one. You weren't the only one that felt depressed yesterday, sir. I said, as I was reaching out to the American Red Devil blog crew, that it felt like a death in the family because I was gutted. It felt like they were taking something that was part of what I, you know, live my life for. I love this club. I love being a member of this fan base. I love the American Red Devils. And that, just sucking the life out of that, the joy out of that, the...
Sir, we live it every week. We live it every game, every match. Honestly, you know, like this pod and everything is like everything we put into this pod, and I know people just like, it's like, we're real, bro. It's like, this is a real, like, I've known you for almost 20 years. You know, when I talk shit to Alex or tell him to stop playing Telemundo calls, it's because we're... So we can laugh at each other and we can sling it, you know? And Alex knows I'm a habitual line stepper. Listeners probably understand. Like, there's a dynamic here. But when we say, like, we were gutted, like, we're literally calling each other three times on Monday being like, sir, what's going on? This is like, you know, it's like, what's going to happen to the pod? We're like, and, you know, we were like, well, we got to stand up. You know, if they join the Super League, we're not going to cover it, but we're just going to like protest them until they're not. You know, we talked about everything. We talked about, well, we still need to go to London and drink dark ales. So like Aston Villa is not that far away. Jack Grealish's Cavs are only a 2-hour train ride. We could go to there.
Desperate times, sir.
But look, United come out no more. As of right now, sir, I haven't checked Twitter since we started the pod. I think Italy's out. Perez is holding strong.
Spurs, oh.
As is tradition, Perez is holding strong. But, sir, the Super League is dead. Play the music.
So the Star Wars nerd in you is just having the best day ever.
Well, I'll tell you what a feeling. Death Star blew up. We got out of there. Like, you know, Super League, only 48 hours, but what a ride. Sir, that music gives me chills down my spine. I think it's appropriate. It's like Star Wars. The Ewoks, they win somehow. The little guy wins, partying on Endor, you know, with the fire, you know, it's like hanging out. Those little midgets in the forest, they win. They beat the big empire. How did we defeat the billionaires, baby? Let's go. Football's back. We got a game. Lead scum. We're going to win the league. This is how we do it.
So they're taking the fun away. They prefer to be called little people. But, sir, it made it all in play. It's like they sucked the passion, the life out of our day yesterday. There was a point where, dude, I wanted to go back and enjoy the second half against Burnley. We beat the Builders down, had a great performance, and they took that away from us. I thought they were going to take the end of the season away from us. And in actuality, dude, the little guys win. It's a big, big day for fans all out there. And now it's about taking it back. Now football needs to be taken back in England into the hands of the fans. It's been run by billionaires for too long, almost two decades. And dude, that's not where it started. That is how it ends. And this, I think, is a massive catalyst in just football overall. One of the biggest historical events that will happen as relates to the English Premier League. And it started with the Glazers, sir. So there's always goodness out of badness. You know, out of a truly desperate move, it woke up the entire world against it. 100%. There was nobody like supporting this other than those six guys. That was it.
No, and it's a great day for fans worldwide, sir. You know, it's David versus Goliath moment, and the fans win. Football wins. What a day. The death of the Super League, the death of the Death Star. You got to celebrate, sir, like it's 1999. The next segment here, we're getting into the treason against Manchester United, sir. Why is this such a big deal that our owners decided to do this breakaway Super League? I mean, they're desperate for money. They need cash. But why is it so treasonous? And the reason it is because the history of this club, this rich history of this club, we've recorded a few podcasts on the history, but our history specifically with the European Cup and what it means to all Manchester United fans, sir, what it means to me, the story of the Munich air disaster, 1968, Wembley, Best, Charlton, Sir Matt Busby, the Busby Babes, reborn again, my man. And it's what made this club the most famous club in the world. It makes this club the best club in the world. It's our history. And Munich and the European Cup 10 years later, Sir Matt Busby almost dying in the plane crash, multiple players, coaching staff, journalists dying in that plane crash, and then 10 years later, them lifting the European Cup for the first time for this club, and these owners just saying, we're good, let's go get some more money. It's like, how detached from reality are you to not understand what this competition means to this team?
They were going to transfer all existing European trophies to the Super League, right? So United would start with 3, Scousers would start with 6, Real Madrid would start with 13, and they just wanted to wash away our history just like a blink of an eye. Like, they had no thought at all. I mean, it's almost perverse. It is criminal. They should be run out of town. I guarantee they will never show their faces around Old Trafford again. They haven't since 19. We talked about it. They have not been at a United game since we played Barcelona in the Champions League quarterfinals, because, you know, they thought they might attach their faces to some success that, you know, they could coattail on. But it's shameful because, like you said, the history of this club, it didn't start in 93. It didn't start in 99. It started iron workers, man, back in the day, Busby Babes, the Munich air disaster, and everything in between. And it's a huge part of why people love this club, why people know this club, and why it's one of the most famous clubs in the world.
So the Lancashire and Yorkshire carriage and wagon depot, sir. Newton Heath, my man. Come on. It's like old Warwick Road, you know, the plane next to the chemical factories. You know what I'm saying? Like, this goes deep. Multiple world wars, and especially the reason, if you think of Manchester United before and after Munich air disaster and the 1968 European Cup final, I mean, that is the moment in history for this club. And you could ask the Glazers, they wouldn't even know. And Ed Woodward, and this is why it's absolute treason. And this is why, like, people want to say, oh, Ed Woodward, he can go on and whatever. No, bro. You don't get a pass. You don't get a pass, and history will not be kind to you, because when this club, when the Glazers are rid of this club, this era will be known as like one of the worst eras in our history. And stuff like this has happened before, sir, where the fans needed to protest back in the 30s, etc. But, sir, let's hear what Matt Busby had to say about winning the European Cup. And I wonder if the Glazers could give like half a shit about this team compared to this man, this absolute legend, God amongst men.
At night. Wembley, it was a crowning glory for us all. For the players that had gone in the crash. For Bobby Charlton and Bill Foulkes, who were members of that team, who fortunately survived. Even the players, the directors, Laird was the chairman and directors, and everybody concerned. It was a night of achievement with the tragedy there was joy that night. They were still only boys, really. Most of them killed at 21 years of age. I think the country lost a team which would have been the talk of Europe and indeed the world. Several times it comes back to me. I think that'll live with me all my life. Live forever in the history of football, because I think they actually created something in their short life in the game.
Created something they did, sir. So there's not a dry eye in the pod room at the moment listening to Sir Matt, the OG sir, talking about what happened in 58, what happened 10 years later in 68. It is a huge part of what this club is and what this club means to so many people. And to see the Glazers just willing to wipe that to the side because of money, it's all they respect. It's the only thing they respect is money. And if you are only driven by money and nothing else, then you're going to have a very hollow existence. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. They will look back on the two decades, because that's how long it might take for us to actually get them out, and say this was a dark history in football. This was a dark history at one of the great clubs in Europe, one of the great clubs in the world. But we will rise from the ashes once again. I will follow this club down to the fifth division, whatever it takes. You know, if it, we were talking about, they should, we were hoping they would send us down to the fifth division just to get get the Super League killed. And I would have gladly followed us all the way back up, because you know what? We've done it before. We'll do it again. And the sooner we get rid of these people, the better, because they have no place at a club this great. They have no right. You know, it's just money. And money isn't everything. And to these people, money is the only thing. And you can't bargain with people like that. They were willing to throw it all away for $300 billion, you know, it's not even a billion, $300 million guaranteed payday, and basically a monopoly. And that's what they wanted.
I mean, sir, hearing the words of Sir Matt, it makes me emotional. You know, what he accomplished, what they did, the tragedy, rising up from that tragedy, you know, like he said, I watched another interview. He didn't even want to go back to Old Trafford because he was so, you know, everything that had happened to him, he was so scarred, and he went back and he started healing. And then he, you know, wanted to continue to be involved. And then going from there to go winning the European Cup, the same competition that the disaster happened that they were playing, and they were trying to make that achievement. And this competition is what means so much to this club. So that's why when these owners and Ed Woodward, they're like, it's a coup. You know, and then getting into Ed Woodward, sir, I mean, he gone. Ed Woodward's gone, sir. I hear we have live audio from Old Trafford, Ed Woodward walking to his car after resigning, putting in his resignation.
Let's play that clip of him walking out.
Shame. 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 Shame.
Shame. I wanted to get him before they started throwing fruit at him, but sir, shame is all he deserves, mate. And I don't know if he's going to get another gig trying to ruin another club somewhere else, but he's probably lined his pockets enough over the last 15 years doing the bidding of the Glazers. Because that's what he's been there for. He's a henchman. He is like a puppet basically used to be the front man, talk to investors, talk to Wall Street about how great of a job he's doing. But, sir, why don't you take it from the horse's mouth? What did Ed Woodward say about his time, his tenure at Manchester United?
Sir, I'm not even going to give you the final Eddie special. I have it here. I have the text. I'm not even going to read it. It's not worth reading. This is literally propaganda. It's a lie. Ed Woodward came in. He sold United Soul. He put all those sponsorships on the banner. He didn't really know what he was doing on the football side. Didn't really care, sir. It goes from everything to like hiring PR firms to basically go into the community and pretend like we're doing good things, like taking photos of them, but not really caring. It was real soulless tenure as CEO. You could tell, you know, just the culture underneath him was not right. You could tell what type of guy Ed Woodward was. The UEFA president, him calling him on Thursday, lying to his face, and then stabbing him in the back. I mean, how many times has this happened with Ed Woodward in the transfer market? Just the way he behaves, you know, no transparency from the club, pretty much lying to the fans, lying to everyone, lie, cheat, and steal just for a dollar. And you know what? That really shows you what type of person he is. And as a dad, sir, it's like everything that I want to be to inspire my son to be is everything Ed Woodward isn't. It's not worth selling your soul. You actually think about like good football men. It's like you need good relationships with people. You can't stab people in the back. You got to negotiate with them again. And Ed Woodward burned so many bridges on the footballing side of things. On the commercial side, look, he did well. I think you and me could have done well. To compliment him on selling out the brand of Manchester United is insane. The website, the app, everything's too late, day late, dollar short. Look at those membership boxes you get. It's all made from China. It costs $2. You pay $50, you get nothing. The club, the stadium, everything that they've run, the financials, I can go through all the details. He's run this thing into the ground. He should have been fired a long time ago, sir. And it comes down to that last game against Leicester City where we lose and we are in financial straits. We win, we get Champions League, and they're bailed out. I think part of the reason why we went for this is because Ed Woodward and the Glazers realized the financial well-being of the club is dependent on us playing well, and that is not what we want anymore. That's what they try to get rid of. That's why they're the ringleaders. And Ed Woodward, he was the chief snake. Not quite the rat that Perez is, sir, but that I'm not going to miss that gullet and that neck beard, him yelling at Sir Alex Ferguson, all the Ed Woodward specials, all the lies, all the bullshit. He's gone. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Eddie, you know, giving you the double bird, my man. Ed Woodward's never welcome anywhere in Manchester, anywhere around me, my man.
Oh, I'm going to spit on that name for perpetuity. Same with the Glazers. I got nothing good to say. Sir, you mentioned all the things. You talked about whoring out the club like that was difficult. It was like it's the greatest club in the world and like hoarded it out for noodle companies and people you know, gave him plaudits like he was some kind of genius. And then he was actually tasked with running the club when Fergie retired and then only responding with transfers when we dropped out of Champions League. You know, we basically only do it if we had to get the money back in. So he deserves no respect. He's done nothing.
He did
nothing laudable at this club. Think about what he did exactly. What he did to Rio. What he did to Patrice. What he did to Wayne. Dude, he told them one thing and then went behind their back right after. And that's the same thing he did to UEFA. And he's a snake. He's a snake in the grass. He's worse than that. Sir, it's good riddance, man.
Think of Sir Alex. You know what I'm saying? Think of Sir Matt. Think of Sir Alex. Think of people. It's like, you know, it's like you got to be able to treat people. You got to be able to. He was always a Weasley banker. He was never the man to like hold the mantle of Manchester United on your shoulders. You can't be a Weasley banker. Sure, you got to get your hands dirty in business. You can't make everyone happy. You understand that, but you got to at least talk to the fans. You have to have communication. You have to understand your responsibility to Manchester. That's why he sold his house. That's why he upped the security. That's why he's out of town, bro. And it's like, you're just going to be a coward. You're just going to duck and run. You're going to lie, cheat, and steal. Just make the Glazers who live in Tampa happy. I mean, can't you go to them and say, hey, I understand you only want money, but we got to have a relationship with the fans. You know, there's like the crime is that you could have – I mean, the Super League is like there's nothing forgiving that. But everything Ed Woodward did, it could have been done better. Everything the club has done the last 15 years is, you know, it's a shambles. And Ed Woodward's – he's the face of it, and history will not be kind to Eddie. And he is good. And like, I am so happy of all the things that happened. I am beyond elated that Ed Woodward is the fuck out of Manchester United, brother. It's like, this is the best thing since sliced blah, 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 bread. And guess what? The Glazers are next.
Well, here's the thing. The rumor is that he's not leaving till the end of the year, but I'm hearing conflicting things. I'm hearing he's gone already.
No, it's the end of the year. They say end of 21. But he actually resigned today because he knew he was gonna get the heat, and he basically wanted to say I'm out, and then now no one's gonna get you know, it was kind of, I'm sure the Glazers called them and said, look, you got to take the fall. They need a fall guy. And they're going to say, well, Ed Woodward, the Glazers' next move is to blame him or sell the club. So let's get into the Glazers out, sir. We always want the Glazers out. They're the reason. They're the head of the snake. Ed Woodward's just doing their bidding. He's the Quasimodo, you know, running around, doing lying and cheating and stealing for him. And the real issue, at the, everyone's saying there's a club that's up for sale. There's a rumor. It's probably Manchester United, sir. Chelsea ain't for sale. City ain't for sale. Tottenham ain't for sale.
Arsenal might be.
Arsenal. It comes down to Arsenal and Manchester United. Now, we knew Manchester United was for sale before COVID. They were rumored to be on the block. The Saudis were sniffing. There were rumors. Then COVID hits. Clearly, you don't want to sell because the price of your club just went down because you're not making money. A lot of uncertainty. You don't want to sell from a position of weakness, right? So essentially what they decided to do was like, hey, what's the desperation move we can do to either raise money or increase the value of the club before we sell it? And so they're a motivated seller. That's why the Glazers don't have any problem going out and tarnishing their name, because if this works, great, they get more money. And if it doesn't, they already get half a billion each. So I really have to think the club that's motivated to sell is United. M&A takes time, sir. You know, we both work in investment banking. I also work for guys like Ed Woodward. I think I know Ed Woodward pretty good.
You know, I met some Eddies in my day.
I've met some short, bald Eddies. And guess what? They weren't really nice guys. You know what? And I work for them. They are liars. And they were, you know, see you next Tuesday. It's not saying it on the pod. That's the one where we won't say, sir.
Or a special pod. It's a special pod today. It's a one-off.
I'm just telling you. It's like a special place in my heart for guys like Ed Woodward.
No, he's a dirtbag. And you know what? It's like, it's a shame that he was given 8 years to drive this club further into the ground. They'd been doing it under Fergie, man. They were underinvesting. The big marquee signings post-2000 would not have happened if the Glaciers had joined a little bit earlier. Dude, we wouldn't have signed Rio Ferdinand. We wouldn't have signed Wayne Rooney. We probably wouldn't have signed Cristiano Ronaldo, because look what happened as soon as they got their tentacles in. And you know what? Credit to Fergie. He pulled off some master strokes, got us as far as we did in many. Dude, got us to, three out of four European Cup finals. Totally. Pulled off a lot of good, smart transfers, whether it is Evra or Vidic or the like. But dude, good riddance. We cut off the tail. Now we have to cut off the head. We have to get the Glazers out. We cannot relent just because they threw their fall guy in front of the bus. Because as dirty and as lying cheaters as Ed Woodward is, the Glazers are worse. The Glazers were so happy to throw him in front of a bus today.
But they're motivated to sell. They're motivated to sell. They all they care about is Tampa Bay, man. They live in Tampa. They care about Tampa Bay. They need to exit United. They were trying to. Then COVID happened. They have a bad debt situation. They need to raise money, like we talked about. They tried the Super League. It failed, and they got to sell. Sir, they are motivated sellers. Selling a club takes time. Not many people have $3 billion. Guess what? Conor McGregor tweeted he could buy Manchester United. He don't have $3 billion. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's a very few buyers on the list. It is for sale. It could take 2 to 3 years to sell this club. It could take a long time, especially in a COVID. Sir, it's really interesting. There's going to be a lot coming out about United, but the fans can't relent. Green and gold to the club is sold, sir. We got the scarves at www.americadevils.com. Click on store. We sold a lot of Glazers out merch recently. Keep it up. The fans need to keep the pressure on. Never take your eye off the ball. The Glazers are everything that's wrong with football. They tried to destroy the game. We clap back. Ed Woodward's gone, fine, but we got to get the Glazers out of this club, and it will be a glorious day, sir. Crack open some dark ales. We'll have another pod. It'll be great times. We'll play some Star Wars theme music. They will be gone. They are motivated sellers. Avram Glazer sold his stock recently. They need the money. It's half a billion each. They're the kids of Malcolm Glazer, sir. They just want that payday. They will get it, and we will all be happy. It's just going to take time. We'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough between here and there, right? Because you think it was bad. You think we were lined up for a bad summer transfer window before. Well, now they have a great excuse for why they're not spending any money. And that's because, you killed our Super League plan. So there you go. No signings. As to be expected, really. But at the end of the day, keep the pressure on. Wear the green and gold. There are going to be fans at United games at the end of the season. I think for the Wolves game, we're going to be allotted a certain number of away fans tickets. Wear the green and gold. When the season opens the following season, wear the green and gold. Do not forget what these people have done to this club. They put it on its knees, and they were willing to chop off our head just so they could make some more money, and it's just reprehensible. So never forget.
Sir, I think we have a great take from Freddie about the European Super League. I think we're done with the Glazers. Edward, we're covering it all here. So let's see what our the number one Dane has to say about Super League.
So Super League, what a crazy couple of days we've been through. Absolutely crazy. It's unbelievable what we're seeing of reactions this evening, right, locally here as well. I understand to some extent, I extend the idea behind saying that what we have in the Champions League and what we have in the Europa League today isn't exactly what we all wish for when we look at it from an audience point of view. There's too many, let's say, smaller clubs who's there, you know, don't get me wrong. There has to be place for some, but not all of them. I think too many teams have entered in both competitions, meaning it's not worth what it used to be. And that has taken a lot out of the glory when it comes to both tournaments. It's probably why when I look back on it and I say Champions League, I have much greater respect for that tournament a couple of years ago when there were lesser teams in it, right? Fewer teams, more class. So I understand the philosophy behind the big club saying we want to bring, let's say, a better product to the consumers. The problem is that the idea behind it, the way of doing it, everything has been so, you know, far from well executed. You know, what did they figure about when they thought about this? You know, who came up with this plan? You know, not speaking to the other clubs, not thinking about the reaction that would come from this. Absolutely madness, you know. And then this evening, you know, now seeing, you know, you lost your guy in Manchester United. You might discuss whether that's a loss or not. There's rumors about Agnelli and Juventus maybe stepping out. The consequence of this is, you know, complete out of proportion. So absolutely madness this evening. But you know, generally speaking, I think the entire concept is wrong. I like the idea of fewer teams, more class. I'll back that any day, even despite having to say that has a huge effect on AC Milan, because we aren't good enough to be there, and we haven't been good enough for a long time. So for us, you know, having to join a Super League, that would have been tremendous on an economical point of view. But again, football is not about economics. It's about joy for the game, passion for the game. It's about seeing, you know, good performances. And it's also about, like, you know, I think it was Leicester who mentioned it, right? It's about seeing a team like them having a chance, fighting to be in the top four, which really means something. And which I also like to see, you know, you got to earn it, right? That's the end of the story. So in short, you know, what a madness, what a waste of, you know, resources and good people who's supposed to know something about the game, right? And now it's all going haywire, right? It's absolutely madness this evening. So, you know, but at least then we have a lot to talk about, a lot more than COVID, right? So it's going to be interesting to follow in the next couple of days, right? Have a good one. Cheers.
That's from Freddie, hot on his take. You know, his beloved AC Milan was joining along with the rest of the goons from the Premier League, a couple goons down in La Liga. He's right, you know, it's desperate act and desperate men, and thankfully, you know, the little man won. The little man had his say, he still will. The job is not done yet. The job is half done. We need to finish it. We need to finish them, get them out. And I think fans have woken up, you know. They came out hot, out Glazers out, when they first joined the club. It's really cooled off, hasn't really been noticeable since like 2011, you would argue, when we were really, like, obviously underinvesting, going to Champions League finals with, like, you know, a team that should have been invested in. It needs to be back, you know, and if we're really lucky, they'll be gone by the time fans are back at Old Trafford. But, you know, like you mentioned, John, that's going to take a while. M&A takes a while, especially at this price point, especially at this market. But the sooner they're gone, the better.
No, absolutely. I think Freddie made some good points. You know, he was saying it in Denmark time, so clearly he didn't get the whole like Super League being disbanded before he sent us the comment. But, you know, saying that your Champions League could be improved. I mean, I heard LVG, a quote from like 2017 when he was talking about Super League. I really agree with him, but he's like, it should be the champions, right? It's a Champions League. Why do you have 2, 3, 4 going in? There's something to be said about less teams, you know, more important or more class, like Freddie said, and also said like, yeah, as an AC Milan fan, the money's good, but football isn't about money. It's about passion. It's about the Leicester cities of the world having a shot. It's about the competition, like Pep Guardiola said it. So, you know, big ups to our man, Freddie. Interesting to hear what AC Milan fan has to say. Sure, let's get into it. The fans, the fan tweets, comments, banter. We got some brilliant stuff about Ed Woodward leaving. Got to get it all, sir. At BryGuy666, end of the season can't come soon enough. Get that slimy weasel fuck out of here. Bye-bye, Eddie. I'm really hoping the ESL crumbling and Woodward stepping down puts pressures on the Glazers to sell. Looking like better days might be around the corner, sirs. Hashtag Glazers out. Also going to warn you, explicit language. There's going to be some hot takes here, sir. I'll get at Jamal Motas, sirs. What a crazy 3 days in football. Incredible how the community came together to shut this clown shit down. What a treat to get rid of the chief clown, Ed Woody. The war against the Glazers isn't over, but we've rallied the fans, and hopefully the day is close at hand. Glory, glory, Man United. Absolutely spot on. At Dave Paz, it's been an emotional couple of days, but relief now. The bell end has gone. We now all need to stand as one United fan base, keep up the anger and hate towards the Glazers, and force them to sell. Absolutely spot on, sir, and I really think the fan base is united now. We've been talking about that for a long time. The fan base has been divided. I think it's united.
No, it is. And we have one common goal. We have two common goals. We want Manchester United to be successful. Everyone can get behind that. But there's no, there's nobody in the Glazers' court at this point. And that's how it should be. The spotlight should be on them. They did it like the boiling frog meme, sir, where they were just turning the heat up on this club slowly and slowly and slowly. And finally, they tried to shove it in the oven. And we need to be, you know, be all together as one and just make them know how unwelcome they are at this club. They're not going to show their face in England again, but let's, dude, in Florida, you see them. Let them know how you feel.
At United Red Devils, quote, threads for tonight. Cheers, brother. And he, Ramon has a photo of the Glazers, Avram Glazer clown nose t-shirt. Absolute class. It's on sale, like we said, $9.99. We're selling all the Glazers out stuff at pretty much cost, because we just want the Glazers out of this club. At the Alex Davis 33, quote, the short life of the European Super League may be a blessing in disguise for United. Woodward out, and now the Glazers' big money-making scheme has failed. They may be more motivated to sell. Can we close the pod with the Glazers' version of Build a Bonfire? We got another one. We got the Glazers out special song, sir. We got the Glazers out rap is coming.
Mikey C has his moment. Get ready for that.
At United Dondo, I love the beautiful game. I'm so excited that Woodward is leaving, that I left work early to go home and have some dark ales. This is an amazing day. Cheers. At J. McLiver, quote, gotta ask Conor McGregor trolling about buying Manchester United if he was serious. Thoughts about that? He has a lot of money. He's got a yacht, maybe a couple hundred milli. Not enough to buy Manchester United, sir. You know, Manchester United, $3.5 billion.
Just to buy it. Just to buy it. Then you got to put a billion into it at least.
Sir, if I had $3.5 and $1, I'd buy it and I live in the stadium.
Still needs a roof because it's leaking and it rains a lot in Manchester.
I live under that leaky roof. At T. Zolski, what a day. I still can't believe it's happening. The Glazers have no choice but to sell after this debacle. Love that Luke Shaw and Harry stood up and spoke out against this madness. Like the GIF says, I guess there's only one thing left to do. I mean, hashtag Glazers out. At Patsy 3 as 2 Snow 6. Woo, that's a handle. Quote, who would be ideally the best replacement as a potential owner of Manchester United? And what's the realistic option? How many shares will USA Red Devils buy if it's open to the fan base for the potential 51 new, sir? What do you make? Who could buy it? And would you be an owner of the club?
Well, it depends. Depends if it's going to be a 51-50 engagement or if it's just another billionaire who's hopefully a little bit more benevolent, you know, has wants to use the soft power mention. It really depends, but obviously who can buy? There's the billionaire in India, the richest man in Asia. He was attached to us a little bit. There's the Zara guy. He was attached to United a little bit. Mackenzie Bezos, I think she's given a lot of her money away, but she's still got enough to buy Manchester United. Maybe a tech, you know, a tech billionaire, maybe, because this is a valuable team. At the end of the day, I think the best option is the 50 plus one alternative. That's where you want to be. I'd buy as much as they allow me to buy. You know, I love this club. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as the fans are choosing the shots, calling the shots, basically picking smart football people to come run the club and not drive it into the ground, I'm all about it.
Apricot Mets, seen a lot of comments on Twitter that today feels better than winning a trophy. Agree or disagree, and why?
I don't agree, because this is just the beginning. Woodward is just a vessel. You know, he's a mechanism through which the Glazers operate. He's an easy fall guy. When we get rid of the Glazers, I will be popping that champagne that we're saving for what number 21, sir. But this is like a false dawn a little bit. It means something, but we have to get that family out of this club.
Sir, episode 4, A New Hope. We just destroyed the first Death Star, but you know what? We got the next one in Return of the Jedi. Let's go.
Exactly.
Let's
go. Exactly. This is early. This is like early battle into what may be a long war.
@DaveyT_Glazer next. This makes me feel as good as any win. Those offseason moves we weren't expecting can be possible now. Granted, we got to get some cash, but with the right people at the helm, it can be made. #, glory, glory, Man United. @PistolGripIt. Pistol Grip Poet, quote, "This has been the wildest 48 hours ever. This week will forever live in league infamy." I mean, this is true, sir. We got an emergency pod. We're ripping. We're deep in it right now, sir. I'm like sweating. You're sweating through your tee. We're just like a lot of banter on this pod, but this is the craziest thing that's happened in recent memory, especially mid-season. Come on, man. This is supposed to be like, this is like our first week off. You know, the American Devils never ceased. But we like had a week with no, we had like 5 days without a pod. Not like we don't like doing the pod, but it was just like, some, you know, we got day jobs, we got kids, we got wives.
This is the universe listening. Yeah, we were all gloating about having the week off. Here you go. Tuesday pod, baby.
There you go. And we're special, baby. @TyKircher, quote, "We're almost free. The scum put their eggs in the ESL basket and it crashed to the fucking ground. Love it. What are you leaving? Glazers have to be next. Surely they cannot survive this. Thank you, Super League. # glory, glory, Man United." That's a great point. It's one of those things where this was an act of desperation and you have to think they're out the door. Right. They're just doing everything they can before they leave to try to make an extra buck, and they don't care because they don't care. They don't care about the fans. They don't care about the history. We talked about it. And Eddie was a sacrificial lamb of that, of this action of just not caring and just trying to sell the club for as much money and don't care about anyone else other than yourself.
I can only imagine he's probably, you know, he's stepping off as CEO, but maybe he's trying to help on the back end get the club sold, you know, vis-a-vis the Glazers, because I have a feeling he's still going to be hanging around doing something, sir. There's a reason he's staying in 2021 to the end of the year. It's only April, bro. It's like, you can leave now. It's plenty of time. You can leave at the end of the season. That's in May. There's a reason.
We're going to end on this one. @CoachGreener, should have joined the Super League years ago if Woodward would have been sacked. # sack Woodward. # Glazers out. You love to see it, sir. I mean, I didn't think we'd see Ed Woodward bouncing this soon. I mean, this is an early Christmas present, no?
It's like, you know, it's like your stuff, you know, your stocking. You get like a little toy, you're excited about that, but the big prize is getting the Glazer family out. And this is, I think, the beginning of that. Like you said, they had no other option. We talked about when we broke down the financials 3, 6, 9 months ago. Where do they go from here? Do they sell the naming rights? Do they do an equity raise, you know, dilute their ownership? This was the last shot. It was like, can we turn it into a monopoly, basically have like a cash stream coming in when we don't have to do shit and still have the cash rolling in? They're going to force their hand, but how quickly do they move and what damage do they do on the way out is my concern. Do they pull a Carthage, burn it to the ground, salt the earth? I hope they don't, because
salt the earth. This guy's getting a little dramatic.
Really, I'll get a little Roman, bro. Roman history. They're like, the Romans came in and like sacked Carthage, burned it to the ground.
salt the earth like salt the earth.
I certainly hope they don't. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the better United are doing, the more valuable the sale would be.
Sir, if you've seen their balance sheet, if you've seen the debt, if you've seen the financials, they've salted the earth. Look, that's the podcast. That's the emergency mega pod, the Super League. See you later, sir. I you know what? One thing I want. I want a Super League t-shirt. Where can I get one of those? Florentino Perez at Tottenham.
I want an Earn It shirt. I like that Champions League Earn It shirt.
Tottenham?
It's like unbelievable. It's like, who's Tottenham? They've won two league titles. Never won a European trophy.
Sir, it's like, pinch me, is this real? It's like a movie. It's like, Tottenham? It's like...
Have a laugh.
Look, thank you for supporting independent fan content. Everyone that supports America Red Devils, that is what this is about. We try to call like we see it. The ownership, Ed Woodward, they should not be getting away with this. It's treason against the history of this club, and they should be held to account. America Red Devils, sir, we're for fans, by fans. That is what we're about. You want to support us, Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our online store. We have all the green and gold Glazers merch, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Click on store. It's on sale. Rep that until the Glazers are out, sir. It's a big deal. You know, I've been repping the green and gold ever since I went to my first match at Old Trafford. And, you know, even though it's faded in the stadium, I've worn it every match I've been to since. They are a cancer with this club, and they got to go. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? Columbus, Ohio. Number two, Bloosh, Switzerland. Probably got that wrong. Chicago, Illinois. New York, New York. Dublin, Ireland. Listen to Connor. Connor, you're going to need more than $100 million to buy Manchester United. Number six, London, UK. Marshfield, Wisconsin. Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. Newark, California. And last but not least, Rockaway, New Jersey. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. It is always darkest before the dawn. There's been some dark days. Hopefully, the light is beginning to shine. There's a lot of good things happening with this team. Most likable squad we've had since Fergie left. Sir, and who was the first player to do anything on social media? It was our boy, Bruno Fernandes. He was the first guy to do an Instagram shot, even though the spelling was not quite right. Legend. This is not the end. This is the beginning. We got to get these parasites out of this club, and it happens by the fans, baby. The fans do it. It's going to be the fans.
Mikey C, Glazers out anthem. Let's go.
Kick it a blue. Not quite. Here we go. Mikey C, tell us about the Glazers.
Glazers out.
Dear the Glazers, answer me this. Why is it any season we finish within the top four, the manager then ends up sacked, and there's no investment?
I don't see your name enough around the motherfucking city, man.
It's like there's no forward thinking within the management, the owners that own our club. It's like you're just happy taking that Champions League money and spending. So it's Glazers out, get the Glazers out. We ain't got time to be fucking about. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. Before the club's fucked and there's no way out. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. They're ruining the team, they need taking down. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. Let's take back our club and let's do this now. Let's save United, get the Glazers out. Cause they just wanna make profit and a paper trail. They don't care about failure or trophy counts. What the fans' feelings, just the bank accounts. They're using the club like a whore in the street. They get spotted by all, but it makes them peas. Don't care at all, we're finishing the league. As long as it's not relegation seas. Cause it's fucked up the money that they make. From the extortionate price of tickets on the gate. That will always be paid by fans on match day. They love this club and will to the graves. And that pisses me off cause we still make a dosh whenever we watch the club that we love fall from above and be dragged through the mud. So it's Glazers out, get the Glazers out. We ain't got time to be fucking about. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. Before the club's fucked and there's no way out. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. They're ruining the team, they need taking down. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. Let's take back our club and let's do this now. Ruining our Man United. It's like they don't care for the club. As long as it's making a profit, so there's money to take at the pot. And they've taken 89 million pounds for themselves when it counts this pop. And that's why everything's up except opposition in the league is top. That the wage rules up and the debt is up. And the merch costs more than it already did. Like they're just happy with their top four spot. Why'd you think Mourinho said what he did? Could the Glazers pass on the blame to him? Even though it was second we finished in, they wouldn't give investment to sign or bring a few good players so we could win. So it's Glazers out, get the Glazers out. We ain't got time to be fucking about. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. Before the club's fucked and there's no way out. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. They're ruining the team, they need taking down. Get the Glazers out, get the Glazers out. Let's take back our club.
glazers out, get the glazers out. We ain't got time to be fucking about. Get the glazers out, get the glazers out. Before the club's fucked and there's no way out. Get the glazers out, get the glazers out. They're ruining the team, they need taking down. Get the glazers out.